That music can mean only one thing. It now signifies the entrance to this program of the most powerful Republican in the state of Illinois.
Can you imagine if all the prominent, high-ranking Republicans in Illinois got together, how many there would be in the room?
There'd be one, and it would be Congressman Adam Kinzinger from the 16th Congressional District. And now there are some other Republicans. Other Republicans did win last night in the state of Illinois. Not a lot of them.
Not a lot. Statewide, zero in terms of statewide offices.
Right. So that happened. But Adam is certainly one of the highest profile Republican congressmen from Illinois currently. And I would have made the argument the most high profile congressman from Illinois in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. Now it's just you. So what are you going to do about that, Adam?
We got Republicans in Illinois, I promise.
All right, so what do you think happened?
I think, to be quite honest with you, just blatant, I think the governor did not have his heart in his reelection campaign. I think you can point back to a number of political mistakes that Bruce Rauner made. When first off, a very divisive primary, no real effort to bring people back. A budget impasse that, while I think it was largely the fault of Mike Madigan, I don't think the governor communicated that well. I mean, if I had been governor during that, I would have been on your show and Chicago broadcast every day saying, hey, I'll put the tax increase on the table. Mike Madigan, what are you going to put on the table that's anathema to you, and let's get something done? And there wasn't great communication strategy. So I think it's some of that. I think in the suburbs, I'm sad about the loss of my friends, Halkern and Roskam. I think some of that was a Trump backlash a little bit. It seems like the suburbs are going kind of anti-Trump at this moment, to be honest. And so I think it's kind of any number of things. I think nationally it was a push. We made some gains in the Senate. We lost the House, but not by as bad as we could have. Statewide, though, it was very much not pretty, that's for sure.
Does it matter by how much you lose the House, though?
I think
would be different. You'd have to go, lobby that one person to come over, or two or three. But it's significant. It's going to be, dozens. And now the House, and now as a member of the House, I ask you this: how aggressive do you think House Democrats, are going to be at looking into Donald Trump's business?
Yeah, so that's going to be the question. As a guy that's lived this, I was there when we took the majority in 2010, and we overreached in a lot of areas. There was this kind of wave of we have to defund Obamacare, even though it's not actually defundable. And, you had people like Ted Cruz calling for shutting down the government over it. And we put expectations for our base out. I say we generically. I think I was pretty honest about the difficulties of it the whole time. But you put this expectation for your base that you can do all these things that you can't, and then your base has a backlash, and they get ticked, and they get... So that's what the Democrats are going to have to deal with now, which is, okay, there's people in our base that want to get Trump's tax returns. They want to, shut down all this stuff Trump is doing. You can't do it because you don't have the Senate. And so what's going to be that question? Do they play... Look, I want to work with Democrats on some things. I do think there's areas for bipartisanship. Infrastructure is among one of them, actually fixing health care and kind of getting it out of this toxic, left versus right thing. That's going to be up to them. It's going to be up to the president. And it'll be interesting. It could have been a way worse day for Republicans. That's why I think this matters to say. It was a push. It was a great day, frankly, in the Senate for us. Bad day in the House. And we'll see how this works out. It'll be, if the Democrats are smart, they're going to try to work with the president, even if, he may not work with them. I don't know.
You heard Pelosi and the president speak today. It seems as if they're both were handing out somewhat of an olive branch while claiming victory, and then also saying, well, maybe we work together, but you know what? If you try to do something to me, the president said, well, we got the Senate to go after you, and it immediately got ugly right away. I mean, I think if you look at the people who voted, they also said, hey, we don't necessarily love this state of fighting in Washington. We'd like to see some of that go away and real work get done. I didn't feel very good about that today, even when I heard both of them speak. I don't know how you reacted to that.
I didn't either. Look, I'm not trying to sound like the old guy in politics now, You know,
uh-oh, here it goes. So, I mean, back in my day of 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, I'm starting to marry my year. But I'll tell you, man, I've been through my this will be my fifth term. Every term starts with people. So whenever there's some kind of a change somewhere of, you know, committing to work together, and it takes 12 hours before it all falls apart. So I think, you know, there may be some areas, maybe we'll get an infrastructure bill early, but the thing to keep in mind, and I'm sorry to your listeners, is the presidential election starts today. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure not to give President Trump a win on anything. Look, we did the same to President Obama. I'm not saying this is anybody's one fault, but I hope we can. But it's really, this is where I think if you're a Democrat, you're going to have to do some soul searching, especially, and say, look, you know, do we just try to win the next election? Do we try to get some victories? I can't answer that for them. All I can say is, for me, as the northernmost Republican congressman in Illinois now, I'm going to work my tail off to try to get some bipartisan things done, and while being true to what I believe.
You know, and I've always appreciated that about you personally, that, you know, you've always kept your mind open to, I mean, this is a big and complicated and sophisticated state, Illinois. This is not, you know, politics is never simple here. And it is, you know, the state that elevated some of the most important political figures in American history,
true,
you know, launched them. And so, whether it's, you know, well, the list goes on. With not enough time to go through them. But this is a moment in American politics that's unlike any other. And I think a lot of people were scared. I mean, people were voting out of fear. People were voting out of fear that Donald Trump is going to do something goofy, and they needed to stop him. And then other people were voting out of fear that people were going to try to stop Donald Trump. And we don't live in an environment. I blame the president for this mostly, but we do not live in an environment of hope. We live and I'm not talking like hopey changey. I don't even get into that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in a moment of positive, here's what we can do, not here's what we better do or we're all going to die. And, and is there a way to change that dynamic? And does this, the president obviously not taking this as a message, right? He's already said he's won and this was great and this is the best thing that ever happened to him. But is there any way to change that in America, do you think, Congressman?
Well, it's the toughest question. And I've thought about trying to put this in words on paper somehow of, you know, look, people have to also be conscious of what they're demanding of their politicians. I don't want to be cliche and say it, but representatives really reflect what it's going to take to get them elected. It was kind of intended that way. And so people need to, I think, demand of their representatives. It's okay to be partisan. That's natural. But don't govern out of fear. I've said this. Look, and then I'll get to the broader thing in a second, but I don't necessarily enjoy this job. And I don't mean that to be, like, shocking. It's like, I mean to say, if I don't feel like I'm making a difference or doing something good, like, there's more fun things to do. And so looking at this and saying, you know, how do I bring hope to millions of people? Illinois is a pretty hard scrabble political state, you know, but I think people are still desperate for a positive message. I ran a positive radio ad that people were always calling me about, like, holy cow, it was nice to hear something refreshing. And so I think that, and I think on the broader level, it's going to take all of us. I can't look at it and say, I've got the prescription for fixing it. But what I can say is to all your listeners, demand different of your people. And, you know, give your leaders some flexibility when they may not be 100% exactly the partisan position you want, but they're trying to accomplish things and get some things done. And to every leader, I'd say, you know, be true to what you were elected for, but also understand that, you know, a lot of these issues we debate about and get our feathers up about, at the end of our lives, we're going to look back and say, it wouldn't have made really a hill of beans difference in our lives, and it wasn't worth losing as much sleep as we did, or time with our grandkids, or as broken of relationships as came simply because we had a different political view. And I think as a country, that's starting to turn the corner. It's not going to happen in the next 2 years because we're in a presidential election, but I think people are starting to get enough sick of it that it might change in the kind of medium term, I hope.
I
hope you're right, too.
Because what I saw in that press conference today, presidential. I'm sorry. There's no two ways around it. His behavior was so beneath the dignity of the office of the presidency, you know, to get up and tell, you know, call out journalists and say that they are the enemy of the people, and to tell people to sit down and be quiet and all those sorts of things. It just, that is not what I want my president with. to do. Be damned policy. I whatever policy yeah. you want, I want my president to behave like an adult in the room and to comport himself with the decorum that is expected, that represents the people of the United States of America, not just a bunch of angry people, but the, right. all the people of the United States of America.
Well, and I have no problem with the president calling out bias. There's bias. Okay, fine. But Republicans have pretty much, you know, we held the House the last 24 years. We've had the president for a long time with quote-unquote media bias, so we can cut through. And calling people the enemy of the people, I mean, ISIS is the enemy of America. You know, Vladimir Putin is the enemy of America. Biased journalism, you know, you may not like it. I don't like when there's biased journalists, but I don't think they're the enemy of America, for goodness sakes. Yeah. That's some pretty harsh language.
Yeah. Although Jim Acosta has been arrested, and he's been put in the same cell as Jeff Sessions. Hey, you know Jeff Sessions. Are you surprised by this?
No, I saw it coming, not necessarily this quickly, but I think the president has a right to have a attorney general he has faith in. But I'm hoping, I don't think this is, the. I hope it is not the beginning of, you know, something in the Mueller probe. Let that finish, for sure.
All right. Thank you, sir. Congressman Adam Kinzinger,
yeah,
congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you guys.
All right, there he goes, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Now, he comports himself like like an appropriate
decent human being.
Is that so hard to ask?
No.
I mean, I don't always comport myself like that, but I'm not the president of the United States. I want the president of the United States. And then people go, well, he wouldn't be president if he acted like that. Well, doesn't that say something? I mean, if that's your best defense of it, it's not right. It's just not right. You need to have, I mean, and we baked all this into the cake. We don't want America to be like that. You don't want your kids to grow up to act like that. Maybe you want to be president of the United States. There's another way. You know, there, am I wrong about this?
No.
There were 44 other guys who made it not doing it like that.
Right. And I think you saw some of that in Illinois with voting, and that these suburban educated districts decided that enough, and they came out to vote for Democrats in areas where you really thought the incumbent would hang on to those two seats.
All right.
With Roskam and Holcomb.
Let's Judy, what's happening in the newsroom?
Just to add to that, DuPage County, all Democratic congressmen now. Unheard of. Part one of our series, A Few Good Women.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was the news or that was just
were both the news.
An editorial aside. All right, here we go. Here is Violetta Pottermedic with the WGN Traffic.